hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you talking about God's Word. We want to welcome you to Cinco de Mayo. And so I tell you, it's a good day to go eat Mexican food. But then for me, any day is a good day to go eat Mexican food. Somebody said I could eat Mexican food all three meals all day. And there are days that I have done that. I want you to know I'm not too proud to admit it. I love Mexican food. And so we look forward to getting back into Proverbs chapter 2 with you today. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to finish up with this chapter today. This is a chapter that is written by Solomon to his son with the intent of creating a passion for the Word of God inside of him so that he would gain an awe of God, that he would grow in the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the discretion that comes from the Word of God, and that as a result, he would be delivered from the way of evil. And right now we are talking about the second aspect of that deliverance, and that is to be delivered from immorality and the consequences thereof. So let's begin reading we'll read verses 10 through 22. We're going to pick up on verse number 18 is where we're going to resume today. It says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing good and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of uprightness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And so this, the psalmist here, there's two passages, or two prepositional phrases that are very key here, and they both begin with the word for. He gives us the reason. He gives this young man the reason why you don't want to live that type of life. And so it says here, for her house leads down to death. Now, over in Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 24, it says, now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And so it talks here, it says that we have to listen, we have to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, then you're going to minimize the importance of the words. And another thing that it says, do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. The wisdom from heaven says, you know what? I need to be very intentional, not just in the way that I do life. I need to be intentional with my relationships. I can't afford just to lose my bearings for a little while and stray into the path. You know, now modern cars with their technology, I don't have this technology on my car, but I know that it is out there, is if you start deviating from the path that you're supposed to be in, from the lane you're supposed to be in, it starts sounding the alarms. And so it would do us good if we had people in our lives that we had equipped with such an accountability that said, look, if you see me straying from the path, I give you permission to summon me to get my attention. Say, hey, let's get back on track here. Let's focus. Okay. I had a similar conversation, different area of my life at one point in time with a friend of mine where I was criticized for the process that I was using in the area of giving. And I explained, you know, why I did what I did. But I said, you know what? If that person's an authority in my life, then I am going to respond to that. And so I made an adjustment in my process to line up with the process of giving that they wanted me to have in my life. And then I did one step beyond that. I grabbed a friend of mine and I explained to him what had happened. And I said, I give you permission that if I ever, you know, fall in this area again, if I ever stumble in this area, I give you permission to kick me in the backside. And he's never had to kick me in the backside. That was 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago. And so it talks about that the people, listen, this immoral woman, this person who is looking for her next victim, it doesn't describe that she's looking for an exclusive relationship. It says, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Do you realize that this was the weakness in Samson's life that led to a shorter tenure as a judge in Israel? He had a woman problem. He did not cherish, even though he had a Nazirite vow, he did not cherish the precious gift of godliness in the area of his sexuality, and it led to his destruction. And it led to Delilah's destruction. She thought she was in it for a payday. And she ended up going down as well. All who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Here in chapter 3, verse number 18, it says, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. And so God, it goes on and says this, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. And so this is a voice today that you are listening to. That's a voice of God's mercy. Okay. This is God coming through my vocal cords and saying, don't choose this path. If you have chosen this path, it's God saying, repent, because I can put you back on the road that you are supposed to be on. Okay. So I think it was on yesterday's program that I talked a little bit about sociologists and what they found that it's actually Christians in monogamous covenant relationships that experience the greatest sense of joy and fulfillment in this area of their life. There is another aspect that they have discovered when it comes to enduring relationships. And it talks about some of the things that you can do that increase the likelihood that your marriage is going, or your relationship is going to fall apart. Okay. One of the first things is if you are involved in a sexual relationship in a premarital manner, in other words, you're having sex before you're married, you have increased exponentially the odds that your relationship is not going to last. Not to mention the fact that it is a dishonorable thing. Okay? And yet it's considered to be the social norm. Well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Well, no, not everybody is doing it. I believe that there are still young people that are being gifted with wisdom and saying, I'm not going to do that. I know that they're out there because I know some of them. I know some of them. And there's a second thing that enhances the ability or the likelihood that your relationship will not endure. And that is if you move in together before you're living in a covenant relationship, you've also increased the likelihood. Now, people are going to break out the anecdotal evidence. And what I mean by the anecdotal evidence is, well, I know somebody's third cousin on their mother's side, and they did both of those things, and they're still together after, 6 months. You know, there's always going to be the exception. I'm not saying hard and fast that marriages are going to fall apart because of that, but I can tell you that you increase the likelihood if there's premarital sexual activity and you're living together before you're married. You're setting the stage for a very rocky road, and God wants you to repent of that so that you can get back on the paths of life, the path that leads to life, not the path that leads to death. So for her house, one of the reasons that we need deliverance is because there's a four there. It is a deliverance because when you are not delivered from that, you're headed for a lifestyle of death and destruction from which there is no return. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. So there is a positive benefit. It started off with a negative, and now he turns it to a positive. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. Can I just be transparent with you here today and tell you that some of the greatest regrets that I have in life. Now, I didn't do these particular things that we've been talking about, but there have been other areas of my life where I didn't live up to the word of God. And it's those paths of righteousness that were forsaken that end up being my biggest regrets. See, the devil tells you it will be your biggest thrill, and it actually ends up being your biggest heartache. And God says, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you knowledge. I'm going to give you discretion and understanding. And as a result, you're going to walk in the way of goodness. I believe it is Dave Ramsey that has a saying that is something like this. If you will live like no one else lives today, you will be able to live like no one else lives in the future. And what he's saying is, if you will live with financial wisdom at this stage of your life, even when other people are not, at a point in time, you are going to be so abundant in your finances that you are going to be able to live above what everybody else is living in the days ahead. So God wants you to walk in the land of goodness. He said, you know, in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It is not that God is wanting you to have a miserable life. God gives us his word because he wants us to live a good life. We just have a tendency to believe the liar instead of believing God. We believe some marketer rather than some purveyor of truth that is well established of leading people successfully for thousands of years. He says, and keep to the paths of righteousness. I tell you, if there's anything that I hate turmoil, I hate strife, I hate arguing, I just do not like arguing. I like for my relationships to be on the up and up with everybody. I want my relationship with God to be a righteous life. I want my life with my wife and my kids to be righteous. I want my life to be righteous with the church. I want to represent Jesus well here for you. I don't want anybody having to come to me and say, oh, I remember when he used to live righteously, not that he'd. And see, I know people who used to live righteously and they died in unrighteousness. That is a driving force in my life because I know it's possible. I keep a very conservative path in my life because I do not want to end up the same way. When we were coming back from my mother's funeral, several weeks ago, we were on a road and it was under construction, temporary construction. And they sent us on a temporary road while they worked on the main highway. They sent us on this curving temporary road with about a 50-foot drop-off on the edge of this temporary road with no guardrail. And there were three vehicles in the convoy coming back. And when I got to the rest area, I said, did anybody else notice that very steep drop off on that construction path? And they said, yes, we noticed it. You know what? None of us wanted to go off of that cliff. We wanted to stay very, very close to the inside, the secure part. We didn't want to have any part of launching. Whoever designed that needed to put up some guardrails or something. It was very dangerous. Let's go on. Verse number 21 has our second prepositional phrase of the day that begins with the word for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. Okay. So why do we need to be delivered from the ways of evil? Why do we need to be delivered from the immoral woman? It is the reason that it is the righteous that are going to dwell in the land and the blameless are going to remain in it. It's not just whether or not you visited. You know, every once in a while there's one of these surveys. By the way, I will tell you, I don't trust those surveys. Anytime somebody puts up one of them, I might look at it, but I'm not going to post my answers because I think that a lot of times they're fishing for information that that they can use to do you do harm to your identity. Let's put it that way. So if anybody's asking for where you went to high school, what city you were born in, what your mother's maiden name was, and all that sort of stuff, what your first pet's name was. Those are all things you don't need to know those answers. I guard that stuff very, very closely. I don't remember why I shared all that with you, but there are a lot of those surveys, I remember now, where they say, how many of these places have you visited? Well, you know what? I don't want to ask you today, have you visited the land of righteousness? Have you experienced what it was like to have a moment in the presence of Jesus where you were in right standing instead of wrong standing? You know, we can all probably think of people that we went to school with that they spent more time in trouble than out of trouble. I want to be the type of person that says, you know what? I'm abiding in the land of uprightness. I'm going to abide in the promises and the provisions of God. I'm going to remain here. It says the blameless will remain in it. Do you realize that everything that you have, it can depart as quickly as it's come? You know, financial booms and busts happen all the time. I happened to graduate in a time when in a region of the country where the oil industry was very big, and it was during a bust cycle. And I remember one particular bumper sticker that I saw during that time, and it said, oh God, please send one more oil boom, and this time I promise not to squander it. And you know what people did? Another boom came, and they squandered it, and another boom came, and they squandered it. Let's choose to live our life in such a way that says, you know what? This is the way God's word says to live. That's the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live. It says, while the upright, the righteous, the blameless are going to abide in the land, while they are going to remain in the land, the wicked, those who were not delivered from the way of evil, those who were not delivered from a lifestyle of immorality, those who never appreciated the benefits of faithfulness, it says this, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. God says wisdom is going to separate the wise from the foolish. It is going to separate the godly from the ungodly. It is going to celebrate the faithful from the unfaithful. There are going to be people who are that have abiding, that they're going to be able to stick it out. They're going to be blessed no matter what season it is. And there are other people who are going to be cut off. There are going to be people who are going to experience life to its fullest, abundant life. And there are others who are going to be cut off. There was something that I heard that many years ago, and it said, the people who choose to live the lowest quality of life. In other words, they choose not to be delivered from any of this stuff. They end up paying the highest price tag. They think, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't do this. Nobody's going to tell me what I can and can't do with my finances. It's my life. I get to choose. And they end up paying the biggest price. They pay a price with their relationships. They pay a price with their health. They pay a price with their finances. And they pay a price with their purpose. And it's not just the down and outers. I tell you, foolishness is indiscriminate of socioeconomic status. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your finances. You can be the up and out, or you can be the down and out. And you can either be wise or you can be foolish. Today, there is set before you a choice. A choice that is going to lead to blessing, or another choice, another option, that is going to lead to heartache. The last clause in this chapter says this, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Can I tell you the number one quality that I look for in someone's life that wants to come and join us and be part of the ministry and move forward? The number one characteristic that I look for isn't giftedness. It's faithfulness. It's faithfulness. You say, so you're just looking for yes people? No, I'm not looking for yes people. I'm looking for faithful people. I'm looking for faithful men and faithful women, because I know that to the faithful, God shows himself faithful. And so anybody who comes along and they're young, I say, you need to be faithful to the Lord in your finances. And some of them have said, well, I give, I don't put any designation on it. I just don't put it in. I said, well, someone at some point in time will ask me for a reference on you, especially if you're wanting to go into the ministry. And the thing that they're going to ask is, are they faithful to honor the Lord with their finances? And if I don't have something where I can go and say, you know what, I've got a 20-year track record that they are faithful in their finances, then I can say, you know, I really can't answer that question, because I don't know. I don't analyze. I don't keep track of people's financial giving for me. The only time I access it is when someone is asked me to testify about their nature, and I can look and I say, you know what? They are faithful. They are faithful. Robert Morris says, before he ever entrusted his daughter to the man that she married, he made sure that he was faithful. He made sure that he was a faithful man to the Lord, that he was faithful to the Lord with his finances. He said, because if he's not faithful to the Lord, why would I entrust him with the greatest treasure that I have in my life? And that is the life of my daughter. Today, I want to encourage you. Let wisdom and knowledge and discretion and understanding deliver you from the way of evil, and also from immorality and from unfaithfulness, and you will live a great, great life. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Comfort me, I need you right now. Comfort me, I don't know how. I'm in need, Jesus, and there's no one else who will do. The only God I need is you. You are the God that never sleeps. Your eyes are watching. Life on.